best Lord of all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Arise on tonight, give God honor, praise, and glory. Realize, recognize, and yea, testify that God alone is worthy to be praised. And again, I say he's worthy to be praised. Bible says, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. I want to pause and seize this moment to register my profound appreciation to the lectureship committee for their longevity, their tenacity in bringing us to this mountain for now 70 long years. Appreciate them so very much for their work safety. Want to additionally thank Dr. Richard Barclay and Dr. Orpheus Haywood for their ability to collaborate, orchestrate, and collude this great stellar classic. I said classic. Lectureship. One that I'm sure will impact us personally, us collectively, our brotherhoods, our fellowships, like none heretofore. And then I want to thank them for extending to me and bestowing upon me this awesome preaching privilege to stand before the great people of God to impart a word from God's word. I'm humbled by that. And then this distinguished honor, the double honor of sharing this preaching platform with these great preachers on tonight, those who have preceded us, those who are on the platform even on tonight. Feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place. Amen. And then we got two doctors and a patient in the middle. The patient maybe is in trouble. Amen. So y'all pray for me tonight. Will you pray for me tonight? Amen, amen, amen. We've resolved to do our best to do our best. And that's what we are best at doing. The best amen in the house tonight is my wonderful wife, Cynthia R. Daniels. I can't see her because of these bright lights. Amen. But she's here tonight. Honey, can you wave? Amen. That's the picture of being blessed. I'll go ahead and clap for that sister. Amen. Amen. My friend, my co-patron, I love everything that I need. And this weekend, we don't have our children, so she's doubling as a girlfriend. Say amen if you can. I didn't know how timely Dr. Winrow was. I just recognized that he didn't get not one note. Not one note. I said he was extending, being extended some extra grace. And I said, I hope Dr. Wright is as nice to me. Amen. on tonight. Pray for him being nice to me. I need all the grace I can get. Amen. My charge tonight is to sermonize an allegory, which is a nautical navigational experience by which we are to draw some spiritual substance that may apply to us in the body of Christ. And this is apropos because we refer to this soul-saving institution, the Church of Christ, as the old ship of Zion. My scholarship has informed me that the Bible boat is not just a boat in the Bible, but rather it is a metaphor, a motif, an object that emerges from time to time, by which we are to extract spiritual principles and precepts that will apply to our lives individually, personally, and to the body of Christ. Gospel writers would inform us that Jesus used the ship, that he taught faith in the ship, that he taught faith out of the shepherd. That he taught faith by the shepherd. With that in mind, I'd like to invite your consecrated attention to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 2. We're going to embark and launch from verse number 1 of Deuteronomy. Chapter number 2. We'll run the book at verse number 1. If you would and could tonight, please stand on your feet in reverence for reading God's word. You're able to do so. Deuteronomy, chapter number 2. I amplify but one verse for your consideration on tonight. Deuteronomy 2, verse number 1. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Ready to read, say bless the word.
Bless.
You ought to find these words written. Moses wrote, then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by way of the Red Sea. As the Lord spake unto me, and we had compassed Mount Seir many days. Pray for me tonight while I sermonize on the subject, when to trim the sails. Be seated in the presence of the Lord. When to trim the same. My sermonic discourse tonight is driven in large part by a very powerful denotation of time. It's a when. An adverb that begs the question, at what time? How long from now? What period? Which seas? Upon what occasion? Under which circumstance? Should have been, could have been, and would have been take place, transpire, or be done. It's a when. This denotation of time in this context is so very powerful that it precipitates, prompts, and demands a corresponding course of action relative to the time. When to trim the sail. For the experienced seaman, shipman, and captain of a ship, sail trimming signals change. It is a change that is an adjustment to change. It's not just change. It is change because there is change. And this change is necessitated by a shift in atmospheric condition. And when the atmosphere shifts, the captain, the sailor, the shipman knows that also it is time to make an adjustment to the ship. And tonight, as you've been And this change is really an adjustment to change. It is not change for the sake of change. It's not change for no reason at all. But it is a change that will accommodate for the shift in atmospheric condition. And that shift is the acknowledgement that we're living in changing time. Our social order has changed. Our world order has changed. Our family dynamic has changed. Our spiritual climate has changed. Our moral and ethical atmosphere has changed. We are experiencing mass technological change. This is no longer maybe. This is now crazy, Bill. We are not raising the same children that we used to raise. We don't have the same families that we used to have. We're living in a changed society. We're living in that world where Solomon said there is a generation that curse their father and do not bless their mother. And so when we are as experienced shift and leadership and our fellowships and our membership, when we realize this shift in our atmosphere, it is necessary for us to make an adjustment to the change. That means we must trim ourselves. When I talk about change tonight, I'm not talking about fundamental change. Because some things ought to stay the same. Word of God ought to stay the same. Jesus the same yesterday. Jesus the same today. And he gonna be the same on tomorrow. But what I'm talking about is philosophical change. Methodological change. I'm talking about technological change. Paradigmatic change that will allow us to adjust in our hearts and our minds and in our ministries for the change that is occurring in our world. When to trim the sails. There's a ship in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse number 1. It's a ship. The boy of the ship, there are nearly 2 million passengers. But this ship ain't going nowhere. It's a ship. But it's been going around the same old buoy over and over and over again. Has not changed its latitude, has not changed its longitude for almost 40 long years. But it's a ship, all right. And it's trying to get passengers from one place to another. But the problem with the ship is that the ship is stagnant. The ship is passive. The ship needs something that would traverse it across to the promises of God. And I'm told that the same power that would move a ship across the dangerous sea is the same aerodynamic power that will cause our ships to capsize, to be left passive and paralyzed in the midst of a choppy sea. And when we think about the body of Christ, this change that is necessitated by the shift in atmospheric conditions is not accommodated by the passengers in the ship. The power to move this ship is not with the leadership. It is not with the membership. Not with the fellowship or the workmanship. But the power that's going to move this ship across these dangerous, perilous, and choppy waters is none other than the Holy Spirit. It is the power of God that will move our ships across the dangerous seas. And tonight, we need to understand that we need to be relying upon the Holy Spirit, not man, but the holy power of God to get us from one place to another. Because we're going to need some power to get this ship where the ship needs to be. And that's why Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse number 1, we see this very powerful denotation of time. Because the Bible says, then we turn. That is to say that it's time to make a change. The membership didn't decide to make this change. It was God that decided to make this change. Denotation of time, then we turn. Now, why are we turning now? Why? Because God operates in time. You cannot understand who God is. You cannot understand the kingdom of God. Cannot understand the Bible you read, except you understand that our God is a God of time. He's God of time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1 says, Solomon premised that for everything there is a time in a season for every purpose under the heaven. Didn't he say that God has his purpose in time in tandem with each other? You'll never see time and purpose separate and apart from one another. And if we're going to make a turn, if we're going to trim ourselves, we must understand the timing of God. Timing of God. Bible is complete. In the beginning, there's time. God created the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 2:2 shall come to pass in the last days. That's time. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established at the top of the mountain. Zechariah says, in that day, that's time, shall a fountain be old. Joel said it shall come to pass in the last day that the Lord will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Here comes Luke saying that when, that's how, the day of Pentecost was fully come. Heard Paul say in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. Peter told me that all you got to do is hang in there, Brother Davis, because in due time, the Lord will lift you up. Trying to get you to see that our God is a God of time. But why is it important to understand and know that our God, Brother Wright, is a God of time? It is equally important for us to understand what time it really is. We got to know what time it really is. Jesus rebuked some Pharisees by saying, you hypocrites, you're careful to discern the times of the sky and of the earth. He said, but of this time you do not discern. In other words, when it comes to spiritual life, y'all don't know what time it really is. The men of Issachar, Bible says that they
they were men of understanding. That they knew the time and what Israel should do. You got to understand the time. And then Mordecai sent a message to Esther. Yeah. And he says, now girl, you need to get it together. You're trying to be cute when you need to stand up and be counted. The same world that put you in that palace has now changed. Mordecai was trying to tell Esther, out here it is going down. Forget about your procedure. Forget about your protocol. Forget about the tradition. It's time for you to go before the king. He said, who knoweth well? Thou art coming to the kingdom. Watch this. For such a time as this. And girl, you need to do what you need to do right now. Because our time has changed. Watch this now. And if you don't do what you need to do, deliverance is still going to come. But you're going to have to pay the price. Now, like that song right there, which is what I'm saying. It says, whatever, oh Lord, whatever you're doing in this, don't do it without me. Somebody understood that some things are going to be done whether you want them done or not. They had enough sense to look at what was going on. I remember. And they said, Elijah, things have changed. Says, they say, behold, now, at this present time, the place where we dwell with thee. For us. It's time for us to make a change. In other words, we've maximized our capacity. We've done the best that we can do with what we have. And our world has changed. And when our world has changed, we got to go to a higher place. Or I wish y'all knew I was preaching about right now. We have to go to a higher place. And build greater capacity to meet the needs of this generation. We got to understand the times. In our text, the Bible says, for this ship that is going around and around and around and around, then we turn. That denotation of time signals that the ship don't belong to them. The ship belongs to God. And when God gets ready to do something different, when God gets ready to make a turn, when God gets ready to make a change, we don't have to move when God moves. Amen right there. We don't have to move when God moves. But the problem of this ship has been for 38 long years. It has been occupied by folk who don't have no faith. Because, brother, this ship does not go forward without something. And if you don't ride in this ship, you just gotta have something. The precipitating circumstances of this text are in chapter 1 and verse number 46. Because the Bible says they were in Kadesh for 38 years. Kadesh is the place, the line of demarcation where the folk that did go any further. And the Lord said, this ship ain't going forward till I deal firstly with those who ain't got nothing. So he had some passengers that needed to be dropped off. Thank you. more and more ignorant. Because folk don't understand who they are because they only stay in their view.
One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. They said, church going to be a better church.
Yeah.
God's name going to be a better church.
Yeah.
It's going to be better, stronger, and wiser than ever before.
Yeah.
We truly, I say.